This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Let's just close our eyes again. As Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this church. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts. Father, thank you for the season that we are in. Seeing your glory, seeing you turn something bad into something so good, Lord. Father, we want to glorify your name. Father, we pray that we just enter the word, Lord, that you just reveal more of yourself to us, more of your love to us, Father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. So, Pat, I don't know. There's Pat. Pat, did you see my sermon? So, Pat did my intro for me. Thank you, Pat. I really appreciate it. Today, God laid something on my heart, and it's to do with what happened last week, beginning of last week, Monday, Tuesday in church. Most of you know what happened. For those of you that don't know, I'm going to show a little video again later in this message. But yeah, God laid something on my heart. I've been something between me and God for a long time, but just seeing God's people work, seeing God's heart being fulfilled in your community, there's just something about that. It stirs you. And that's why today I'm speaking about being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. The main text is in James 1, verse 19 to 27. Is it up? Good. Now this, my beloved brothers, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness, rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure, that is undefiled before God the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. There's a lot of things in this little short scripture that I can talk about this morning. James is a very practical book. It shows us a lot of easy ways just to live a Christian life and to persevere through trials and how we as children of God should act. But for us to understand that passage better, I just want us to get a little bit of more perspective on who God really is. The two verses preceding that passage, verse 17 and 18, I put up separately. And it reads, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, hearing and doing the word. Those two verses really sum up a lot about God's character. Number one, God is constant. God is the source of all good. All good things come from above. He's unchangeable. He's always reliable. We just sing it over and over again. We know he'll do it again. He'll do it again. We've all got testimonies of what God has done in our lives. He always comes through. He always keeps his promises. Another song that we sing, and it's in 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul speaks about yes and amen. All his promises are yes and amen. And this verse, something which really stands out for me, which is really beautiful, is that he loved us so much that he made us out of his own will. He didn't have to. He wanted to. That's how much he loved us. He made us. We are the first fruit of his creatures. If you look in the Old Testament, first fruit always being the first part of the crop was always given to God as a sacrifice, as an offering as a giving of a pledge of better things to come. Trusting God, showing us that God has a greater plan for us. That's the character of the God that we serve. If we read verse 21 to 25, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with the meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It's self-deception to think that God's plan for the church is merely just to hear his word. That is not God's intention. We must hear the word, but he also wants us to apply the word. We need to be doers of the word. We need to live Christ out in our lives. We need to do his will. We need to seek what breaks his heart. We need to seek that in our lives. We need to be doers of God's perfect plan for us. And in that process, being a doer of what God wants and expects from us, we ourselves are actually being transformed. It changes us. We start forming ministry in ourselves. We start forming and we develop the ministry. You see, James speaks about the mirror, that it's like a person looking into a mirror, only being a hearer. As you're looking into this mirror, you're seeing an image of yourself. The man sees an image of himself. He walks away and soon forgets, quickly forgets what he looks like, forgets his character. And it's the same. Only being a hearer is like hearing the word, but quickly forgetting it afterwards. If you only hear it, you're going to soon forget it. But being a doer means hearing the word, doing it, and as I quote in that scripture, we won't be forgetful hearers, but we will be blessed in what we do if you are a doer. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, Paul speaks about another mirror. And that scripture reads, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to read that first part again. But we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror. With unveiled faces, we are being transformed. Hearing the word, doing it, applying it in our lives, the veil starts dropping. We start seeing what Christ is about. We start seeing Christ's character in our lives. We start changing. The Christ-like character is, we seek purity. We seek to live a holy life, a godly life. Once you start doing that, once you start pursuing a lifestyle like that, it's challenging, yes. But you see God's character, and when you look into that mirror, you don't see the man anymore. You're not just a hero. You don't forget. You start seeing God. You start seeing the glory of the Lord. You remember the word. You apply it, and you do it. Your life gets changed. You see, if you want to be changed, and this is a challenge for all of us, if you feel you're at that place where you're just a hearer of the word, you want to be changed, I'll challenge each and any one of us tomorrow, after service, in the week, pray for someone you don't know. Go into the store, go to the petrol station, go to your work, that colleague that you know is sitting in that office two stories above you, you only see him in the mornings, pray for that person. I can guarantee you it's not only going to change him, but it's going to change you. It's going to change your heart. Something in your heart is going to be transformed. It brings forth God's character. It brings up God's character in us. And we start seeing God's fruit in our lives when you look into that mirror and you start doing the word. Now, when Pat spoke about it earlier, last week, at the beginning of the week, we all know what happened in Hermanus, the unrest in Hermanus. And that morning, everything, we came to work, everything was normal. We didn't expect the day to end the way it started. It was the way it started, it was normal every day. Monday, coming to work, have a meeting. And then all of a sudden, there was unrest that broke out in Zwelihle. And people started arriving. They were scared to stay there. And I sent an SMS out saying that if anyone is afraid of staying there or close by, the church is a safe haven. They're welcome to stay here for a night or two until the unrest goes away. A lot changed since that SMS. Everything changed since that SMS. I'm standing here today because of that SMS. It changed my heart completely. The response was overwhelming. Within minutes, my phone just started ringing and it never stopped. I think till the end of that night, I'm cutting a long story very short, but the end of that night, I had to charge my phone probably 5 times. But we'll get into the detail. Before I go on, I just want them to quickly play the video. So many people in this week that passed now and that week, after that week, the Wednesday to the weekend, so many people I spoke to, hundreds of people, just people come up to me and they say, was that not church? Was that not how God's church should be? People experienced something, that Christ-likeness of God in them, and many of those people did not even know they have it in them. I have so many testimonies of those 2 days, and most of them are from after the 2 days, not during the 2 days. During those days, just to give you an idea of how God's character was at play, the first evening there was a sick baby, or the second evening, sorry, there was a little baby girl. She was a few months old. She had reflux. She struggled to keep in her milk, and we're lying there somewhere, and the parents were very tired. You could see they can't get any sleep and they don't know what to do. And we just started praying for the little girl. Just laid our hands on her and we started praying for her. And I prayed for the parents as well. And the end of that evening, I got home. I told my wife, Tabitha, I prayed for this little baby. As I prayed, I actually felt like she's swallowing. You could really feel immediately God is at work in that child. But that's not for me what stood out. For me what stood out is I told my wife about praying for this little baby. And I described the baby. I described the parents. And I said the father's name. And he's a Rasta. So he's got dreadlocks. And I told that to her. And she said, oh yes, I can tell him. I could actually for ochend for him gebid. That was, to me, so profound. We never spoke about it, but that's God's heart at work. His children doing His will, praying for His people. And there's so many more testimonies that came out of this that I don't even know about that I would love to hear. But for me, most of it came afterwards, the way that we changed afterwards. There were people leaving their daily jobs. There were doctors. There were all sorts of professional people that put their time aside, which cost their money. They were here all the time till we had to send them home. They just pitched. They just wanted to know what they could do. We were at a stage, there were so many people here, and everybody for some reason wanted toothbrushes. They're very good on dental hygiene in Zwelithle. And we wanted more toothbrushes. So we put a message up on one of the many WhatsApp groups that started forming. Within hours, we had boxes full that just came up. We needed towels. People brought towels. People brought more. They brought toothpaste as well. They brought toothbrushes for little kids. There were people that were so, and you know, it's not just they feel they have to give. You can actually get behind the heart. They ask exactly what is the specific need that you need. What is the specific thing that we need? Not what food can we bring. Is there something specific? Is there someone that needs specific medication? Is there whatever, certain pillows or whatever that they need for the children? We were overwhelmed. You can, after the service, you can still see some of the things in our office of people that just brought in abundance and blessed. And for me, seeing that, it changed my heart so much. That evening, I actually had to go home. When I saw the church started filling up that afternoon, I had to go home. I had to go fetch my son for two reasons. Number one, he was working a bit on his mother's temper. But number two, I wanted him to see this. I wanted him to experience this. I wanted him to see what church is like. And he's still talking about that. He was here for a few hours. He's my little friend. He always asked me, where's Anu? His name is Anu. Hopefully we'll find him again one day. And there were many people that brought their kids with. And for me, is that not God's heart? Is that not what He wants us, the church, to be? How the church needs to be? If we look at Jesus' parable of the sower in Mark 4, verse 13 to 20, and I'm going to read it for us quickly. It's not on the board. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, the word that was sown into them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, they hear the word at once, receive it with joy. But since they have no root in them, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of this word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown amongst thorns, hear the words, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness, the wealth, the desires of the other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what is sown." I've read this parable so many times. You can take so much out of it, but for me, what stands out is the first group, the seed that's sown by the wayside, they hear the word, but they do not understand it. The enemy takes it away. It's like James said, you forget it. The people that receive the word on stony places, they hear it, they receive the word with joy, but they don't have any root within themselves. Trial and tribulation comes, and it shatters the house completely. Then are the people that hear the word, like the seed sown amongst the thorns. They hear the word, but the cares of this world, the richness, the deceitfulness of this world comes and it chokes up that plant and it bears no fruit. And then finally, the seed that's sown on the good soil, they hear the word, they understand the word, and it bears fruit 100, 60, or 30-fold. Hearing the word is one thing. Understanding it and applying it. Understanding it means you know what it's about. You understand this word, but you know also that it must be put into work. It needs to be applied. It doesn't help you just understand word. You need to apply it to fully understand it. You need to see it practically. Understanding the word, applying it in our lives, living it out, doing it, acting on it. That is what produces the fruit in our lives. See, that day, specifically now talking about last week, you could see people not only heard the word, they understood it. They acted on it. They lived it out. We saw people come here. Man, it was amazing to see. Just people you never thought would pitch you. People you never thought, they're so quiet, or when you speak to them, they're quite reserved. Something like this happened, man. Those people just flipped like that. God used them mightily. There were people that helped clean the toilets. There were people that made sandwiches. There were people that did so many things that I can guarantee you a lot of us will feel is kind of beneath us. We don't like to do that kind of stuff. I for one, am one of them. I'm not saying specifically to someone, but people just came and they gave of themselves. They laid it all down. Did not care what the cost is. For me, that is a doer of the word. If we read verse 26 and 27 in that scripture, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the word. You see, again, as I say, when true religion is when we start caring for that, what God cares for. We start studying His word and we see what His heart is all about. And we start following that. We start doing that. Again, we pray so much, Lord, break our hearts for what breaks yours. That is such a, I don't want to say dangerous, but it's gonna hit you hard. Because God's going to show you what breaks His heart. That was a good example. It's caring for the orphans, caring for the homeless, caring for the displaced, caring for those who are hungry, caring for those that don't have a place to stay, those who are hopeless, those who are lost. I've had many conversations with people here that I could see, and I'm sorry to say, but people that did not show God's character, and they did not want to serve. They actually felt that some of the people staying here needs to serve. And for me, again, is that God's heart? God's heart for us is to go after His children, His lost. He spoke about this many times. Jesus' teachings, you can go read all the scriptures. He spoke about it so many times, caring for the broken, caring for the lost, caring for the orphans, the widows. He felt so strongly about it. He even said in Matthew 25, he said, that one day the Son of Man will return and He will sit on His throne and He will divide the nations like a shepherd divides the sheep and the goat. And then He goes on to say that the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you..." And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." God's heart for us is to look through our own eyes, to see how He sees. This song that just played now, last night I only thought about it. It's a beautiful song. It says, let your love be my kaleidoscope. Who knows what is a kaleidoscope? Many of us seen it. It's children's toys. You get it at the toy stores, and I haven't seen one for a long time. But what a kaleidoscope does is it when you look through it, it changes your view completely. It changes your perspective. When you just speak about a kaleidoscope, it's kind of meaning. But when they say, let your love be my kaleidoscope, let your love change my perspective. Let your love change my view. How profound is that? If we can start operating in that manner, being doers of the word and asking God, Lord, change our view so it fits your view. Change the way that we see things, that we see it the way you see. Lord, let's hear what you hear. Father, break our hearts for what breaks yours. I want to play another, it's a voice note. Now, before you guys play it, just to give some background, everybody knows, or most of you know, Deline in church. She faced quite a lot of things, a lot of hardness, hardships during these two times where she lives. It was quite close to where the most action was. But she has this amazing testimony that she shared with us on one of the WhatsApp groups. And I just want you guys to quickly listen to it.
Hi, everyone. Earlier on today, I met a lady at our guide here at Beach Club. She was looking for a lift into town. And then during our chat, as we were driving into town, I asked her where I can drop her off, where she's sleeping. She then told me she could get out to come and work today, but last night and tonight, she's going to this place where they give protection. I then asked her where this place is, and she answered me, it's a place where the people love. They love so much, they give us protection and they give us food. Okay, and this is then when I realized she's talking about us, the church. And then she kept on talking about the love the people give there. It is such a wonderful testimony of what the people experience. The love they feel and receive, and the caring. She then also said, you can see it is God's people, because only God can do that. So I just want to say, this what is happening now in church is being noticed. This is the light that is now shining in this current darkness we're experiencing. And what it means to these people, and it is so wonderful.
Sure. When we heard it the first time, we all, again, our hearts stirred. Something in us stirred, and the band can start coming up so long. Something in us changed as well. You do this out of selflessness. You don't expect anything when you serve God's people. But hearing a testimony like this, it changes you. It's like it fuels you. You want to do more. There was just this energy, this rush that you get from doing it. Because that's the Holy Spirit in us. And it's again, it's connecting with God, and you know His heart. You know His heart is you connected to His heart. You feel His heart in this. You know when you are busy doing something, and you start seeing that person in that mirror. You start seeing that God-like character because you are doing God's will. It changed us. Serving God's people, it reflects God's heart. We've got that sign up there. Everybody's seen it. Hashtag known for love. That voice note sums up that sign, or that sign sums up that voice note completely. Known for love. Is that not the legacy that we want to leave behind on this planet? Do we not want to be known for God's love? You see, love is a verb. It's not just a feeling. It's an action. It's something we do. And something that stood out so profoundly for me during this whole time is a lot of times we feel you need to produce good works. You see, good works, you need to produce good works to get a good character. But God just came and He showed me that it's the wrong way around. You need a good character, God's character, to produce good works. And that for me, I just thank God that I can stand here. I just thank God that I can share this. For me, it's like a testimony of seeing God's church doing His work. And I want to encourage us. And this morning, if there's any of you, I want to do a call on those who feel that they are at a place where they're only hearers of the word, and not just doers. If you feel that that verse in verse 21, I want to go back. If you could put that scripture up again quickly, the main scripture. There's a scripture in verse 21 that says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." I want us all to just close our eyes quickly. And no one looking around. If there's any of you, first of all, this message might have touched your heart or done something in you, but you feel you first need to, as that verse say, empty yourselves from filthiness and wickedness and receive with meekness the word of God. You want to receive Christ in your life. I want you to just raise your hand so I can pray for you. Just raise your hands briefly. Thank you. Quite a few hands. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to give some more time while the band plays. If there's anyone that feels that they need to empty themselves, as I prayed earlier, empty yourself of yourself and open yourself up for God. If there's any of you, just raise your hand. Father, I just thank you for those hands that went up, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for what you are busy doing with your church, what you are busy doing with us, what you are busy doing in our lives, in our hearts. Father, I bring those that raise their hands before you, Father, and we give them to you, Lord. And we trust you to fill them with your love, with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill them with your peace, Lord. Stir it up in their hearts, Lord. Stir your character up in their hearts, that they, as they look into that mirror, that they're not the hearer that forgets what they look like, but that they see with unveiled faces your glory. That they start living it, producing fruit. Father, I pray that you just enter their lives, Father. And show them that you turn a bad situation into a good situation, into a perfect situation, Lord. While we keep our eyes closed, there's also a group of people here, and that's what I was starting with, is I feel there's a lot of us, we've done this, we know God, but we're at a place where we feel kind of our ministry is stale. We feel our ministries aren't going anywhere. We're not seeing any fruit. Quite frankly, we feel we don't have any energy left to produce any fruit anymore. We feel we just get up and we come to church, or we go to our small groups and we just receive. We don't really apply. We don't really understand. We just hear. And we just start believing the lies of the enemy that come in. If there's any one of you that feel you want a renewal of that doing of the word in your life, if you feel that you need to be lifted up, you need that energy, you need that Christ-likeness in you, you want to pursue that pure and undefiled life. If there's any of you that are at that place now, can you please just raise your hands quickly and just put it down? Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, thank you, Lord, just for these people, for these brave people who put out their hands, Lord, that just made the decision, Father, to stand up and declare and lay it down before you that they are at that place. Lord, I pray for renewed strength, renewed energy in their lives. Lord, I pray that you just become so dominant in their hearts and their lives and their ministry, Father, that they seek your will. Father, I pray that you open up scripture for them. Father, I pray that you make things clearer for them. Lord, we come against the lies of the enemy and the deceit that is sowing in their lives that are, and I'm just seeing a picture of lines being blurred as you read. You just skip over a few lines and you just finish the page, just to finish the book and you close the book. Father, I pray that book stays open. I pray that the words jump out of the book. I pray that it stands so clearly in front of them, Father. I pray that you just renew their hearts, renew their love, their first love that they had in you, Father. And especially for certain people that have ministries as well. I feel there's definitely people here that just let some ministries go, or they've left, the heart of it is left. And God does not want you to give up on that. If God's given you a dream, if God's given you a promise, His promises are yes and amen. So we need to hold on to that. So Father, I pray for those people. Lord, we just thank you for what you do in our midst, Lord. We thank you that we can be your servants. As James said, I'm a servant of God. Thank you that we can humble ourselves, Lord, and do your work. Thank you that we can uphold your righteous name in the dark times and in the good. Father, we thank you for the living testimonies that we have, Father, that you change bad situations into good by using your people to do your work, Father, your character. We glorify your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. During this specific time that Luke was talking about now, we just want to say thank you from Disaster Management Protection Services side. Thank you for all your prayers. While things were going on, we had a few police officers, law enforcement, traffic, and security officers. But it was only a handful. And I can promise you, if it wasn't for your prayers, we wouldn't have survived this. Because if you count the amount of officers we had, on the side of the fence, on the other side, we faced about 3,000 people facing you, and with limited resources. And I can promise you, it was only the Lord's hand we could see upon each and every person. We started off this program or this few days with a disaster store with only 20 blankets, limited food. We ended off with supplying numerous of places with food. We could supply children homes, hospitals, because the amount of food that was left over was in abundance. We received buckets loads of food that people came to drop off. We received people waking up in the middle of the night in their pajamas, bringing a little bag of food to produce. We received toys for children to come and play with during this time. We want to say thank you. We had about 300 people in this church. We had over 800 people in Sunby Church, Sunby Hall. We could feed everybody. We could feed each and every uniform officer while on duty because they left their homes without their food. We could really see the hand of God in this process. So what the enemy tried to put down to the bad, God turned into real, real good. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Let's just stand, church. And I just want us, let's stand and let's just sing that last part, I See You Move. Because we serve a God that moves mountains. And He does it again and again and again.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.